The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
The lakefront in downtown Milwaukee is painted orange on this Sunday morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sunday Karma. Across ESPN Wisconsin, live from Walk MS Milwaukee 2025, live from the Summerfest grounds. No Craig Karmazin today, no Greg Scalzo today, no Kyle Wallace today. Alex Strofe will be here momentarily. Producer Will Summers on the ones and twos, but off the top, cousin sub of the day, Brian D. And once again, we are live from the Summerfest grounds for Walk MS Milwaukee 2025, empowering lives and creating a future without MS. You hear the countdown going on right now. That is the voice of Alex Strofe, who is emceeing this event at the Summerfest grounds. And that's where we need to start today as Walk MS gets underway. Folks streaming by to do a 1 or 3 mile course here at Summerfest. I want to loop in Will Summers here, our producer, who, by the way, graduated from Concordia University, Wisconsin yesterday. Congratulations, Will. I need to take you inside Alex Strofe's morning here. So this is a phenomenal event. There are over 2,000 people here for Walk MS Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Strofe is the MC of the event. So what that means is he was just on stage here at Summerfest in front of 2,000 people leading the event, doing the countdown for the walk, starting the whole thing. And naturally, he was a little bit nervous, right? Anybody, regardless of if they're a radio host, whatever they do for a living, when you put somebody in front of 2,000 people on a stage at Summerfest, there's going to be some nerves there. So I got here this morning to set up the broadcast, and Strofe tells me, yo, I'm a little bit nervous. I need to talk to 2,000 people. I'm like, Alex, you're great at this. You were at the NFL draft talking to Matthew Golden last week. You were on stage in front of 500 people at the Tundra Trio. You're going to do fine. I spent my whole morning from 8:30 until 9:45 when the program started calming this dude's nerves. So about 10 minutes before he goes on stage, Strofe says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm like, cool, sounds good. I'm sitting here, I'm sipping coffee, I'm talking to Will, getting ready for Sunday Karma. Strofe comes back, he's wearing khaki pants, and I'm going to let him tell the rest of the story as he sits down here at Walk MS Milwaukee 2025. Alex Strofe.
Good morning.
Take us inside what happened to your pants 10 minutes before you went on stage.
Well, you see, Brian, so we're at Summerfest, as I'm sure you've mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much uses the sinks are getting between, I don't know, say, July and May, outside of a few, you know, events here and there.
One-off concerts. They'll do a big concert at the AmFam Insurance Amphitheater in September, October. But you're right. Throughout the wintertime, not a lot of usage happening.
So lack of a better term, the sink I went to threw a fit, multi-directional. And it landed, I mean, some of my shirt, but also just like brutal placement. I had a big splash, I don't know, maybe 3 inches above my knee.
You look like you peed your pants.
It looked like quite the leakage.
10 minutes before you went on stage, yes, in front of 2,000 people.
So here's what I did. I went behind the stage, and there was a great area with a picnic table with sun on it. I sat on top of the picnic table. And I spread my legs, and it dried out. So it was good. I think I texted you with about 4 minutes to spare, now, that, hey, we're dry, we're good to go.
You did have a podium.
I did.
That was able to block your pants a little bit, but it is a clear podium.
Yes.
And again, there's 2,000 people looking at you from all angles. So you are happy to inform us that you dried out before you got on stage and counted down Walk MSU. You're
yes.
good to go?
I'm okay. good to go, man. We're ready to roll. We're going to have a great show for you today until noon. Brian D here, Alex Strofe here. Did you get into Giannis, or were you just making fun of me off
no,
the top?
No, we were just starting talking about how you look like you peed your pants right off the top. But we will get into Giannis. We will get into Jordan Love, the revitalized Green Bay Packers offense all day today.
Yes, we will.
Let's start with Giannis because
– Can we get to Will first?
Yeah, let's get to Will. Go ahead.
Will Summers, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Oh, no. Oh. He sounds awful.
Is it that
As
bad?
He should, though. As he should. So I did allude to this right off the top before Strofe joined us here. Will Summers, our producer – graduated
yeah.
from CUW yesterday.
Good for him.
Concordia University, Wisconsin, class of 2025. Congratulations, Will. I did stop by to congratulate Will before I left the office on Friday. And I said, don't hit it too hard. But I feel like that's kind of an obligation when you graduate college to hit it as hard as you possibly can. And that's not what Will's voice normally sounds like. He's a little gravelly this morning. Will, are you doing okay? Like, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 this morning?
I feel pretty good, actually. The only thing that sucks is I left my debit card at a bar, so I got to go figure that out today, and I'm not hyped about that at all.
Did you leave your voice at the same bar?
I don't know. I think I sound fine. Do I not sound okay?
I don't. No, you sound like you smoked a pack of ciggies last night, which no judgment if you did.
No, I didn't. I'm trying to sound enthusiastic, so it's surprising that I don't sound good right now. It's tough.
What do you think the – like leave the extra 40% tip or whatever they charge when you leave your debit card at a bar aside. What do you think the bar tab was last night?
Last night? Oh, I don't know. I usually keep it open – or I usually close it right away, but – they had a $15 minimum, so I kept it open, and then I just forgot it there, which was the problem. I'd say under $100, though. I had a lot of people like buying me some drinks, too, because it was the graduation celebrating, so not too bad.
Okay. All right.
Kept it low.
That's all you had for Will?
That's all I had for Will. I'm glad he's here and awake and all that good stuff.
Let's shift from Will Summers to Giannis Antetokounmpo, because I think that is where we need to start today. Obviously, the Bucks saw their season come to an unceremonious end on Tuesday evening this week. They were up 7, and then they weren't, and the season ended. And then John Halliburton stormed onto the floor. And I feel like, Alex, the way that the game ended kind of overshadowed what the storyline should have been, which was that Giannis' last game as a Milwaukee Buck? And the conversation, I believe, starting now and into this week is going to shift to that because Giannis Watch 2025 really gets underway for me Tuesday night.
Yep.
Because the NBA draft lottery is going to take place Tuesday night, and there are two teams with multiple lottery picks that I think will insert themselves immediately into the Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstakes as soon as the ping pong balls settle on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think teams are certainly going to look into it because that's just going to be the commentary. It's going to be the discussion this NBA offseason. Look, I've said it all week. I'll say it again today. If I had to put my money somewhere, and I saw some odds. I don't remember what sports book it was from last night. The Milwaukee Bucks plus 125, the favorite to land Giannis Antetokounmpo's services in 2025. That would be the bet I would make because – unlike many superstars in this modern era, I think you actually can use blind loyalty as an argument point for why Giannis would be back in Milwaukee. Now, do I understand the commentary more this time than I have in past years? Of course, right? I mean, the future's bleak for the Milwaukee Bucks. There's no draft capital. Damian Lillard's going to be out all of next season, if not into the postseason next year. And as we've learned, if you don't have a healthy Damian Giannis over the course of the last 2 years, you ain't getting very far. You might get to the postseason. You ain't getting much further than that, though. And that's the part that makes me go, oh, boy, why would Giannis stick it out? But I go back to he built this team. He has the decision-making power. He's essentially, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way or a rude way, he's quasi-GM here. And while maybe the Utah Jazz, for example, Brian, could land the number one overall pick and package, you know, some first-round picks in a trade for Giannis, I don't know that Giannis is walking into Utah with the pep in his step that he does each day in Milwaukee. So We'll see. I think there are certainly conversations to be had, like there was with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers a couple of years ago, of does it make sense for both of us to change the scenery? The things to keep in mind with Giannis, he's only 30 years old. He's playing some of the best basketball we've ever seen him play in his storied career right now. And, well, that's about it.
So here's what makes me nervous, and everything you just said is completely valid. I am not willing to accept blind loyalty as a reason for Giannis sticking around. The reason I'm not willing to accept that is past experience. I've lived in Milwaukee for 15 years now. This is home.
Mm-hmm.
I spent middle school and high school in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Milwaukee in the summer of 2010 from Cleveland to come to Marquette University. What happened in the NBA in the summer of 2010?
That would be the decision, right?
Yes. And the widely accepted argument for why LeBron James was not going to leave Cleveland was blind loyalty. It was, he's a native son. He grew up in our backyard in Akron. There's no way he is going to go on national television and kick us all in the teeth and say, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. And that's exactly what he did. Now, it's not apples to apples. LeBron was a free agent, right?
Yep.
And they did end up executing a sign and trade, so the Cavaliers got something back for him. But the organization had no power in that situation. The Bucks do have a little power and control here, right? Ultimately, it's going to be Giannis's decision what happens, but the Bucks can dictate the terms of it in a way that LeBron couldn't. But that's the reason I'm not willing to accept blind loyalty, is because arguably the most loyal connection you could possibly come up with in the history of the NBA said, screw you, I'm going on television in a purple checkered shirt and kicking you in the teeth.
I like that you referenced the shirt that's all burned into our brain because what a moment that was back in 2010. But I think the difference between, say, Giannis and LeBron is I don't think Giannis has an interest in going elsewhere to build a super team, right? I think, and by no means can the Bucks build a super team this offseason. That's not the argument I'm making. I think when you look at some of the best examples of guys Giannis has interacted with or, you know, worked out with or looked up to, you have two examples of guys that stuck out their entire career in one spot, right? Dirk Nowitzki obviously being the overseas one, and a guy that mentored Giannis and trained with Giannis and Giannis looked up to in the late Kobe Bryant, who played his entire career in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. albeit a draft night trade, but
sure.
in Los Angeles.
Yep.
I think when you look at those two examples primarily is they didn't go through every year was championship level team, right? I mean, they went through some bad years. Now, the NBA is obviously in a very different spot than it was in the mid-2000s, early 2010s with those two examples. But I think Giannis can look at Milwaukee and go, all right, who can we bring back? Who's a logical Brook Lopez replacement / upgrade, right? Is there a Naz Reid availability there? Next year might not be all sunshines and rainbows.
That is what the Milwaukee Bucks are going to have to sell Giannis on to keep him.
Yeah.
Is they're going to have to be extremely honest and say, we're not going to be as good next year. We're just not going to be, but you are going to have to be the guy.
So
and you can appeal to his ego in some sense there and go out and get your third MVP award, brother.
But I don't think it's the Bucks necessarily that need to sell. I think it might be more so the Bucks are the ones that need to be sold. They're the ones who I don't want to say have all the power, because obviously if Giannis goes public and asks for a trade, right, upper hand Giannis. But I think the part we're missing in all of this commentary about if it's Giannis's last game in Milwaukee, is his career with the Bucks over? I think the part we're missing is the Bucks are going to need to kind of kickstart this conversation, right? They're going to be the ones that sit down at the table and say, hey, Giannis, we think it'd be best for both of us. It allows us to regain some draft capital. It makes our future life after you a little less bleak if we move on from you at age 30, say at age 34.
I think it's completely the other way around. I think the Bucks are going to go in and say, dude's under contract. We're not trading the
right.
two-time MVP and NBA champion, right? So whenever this exit meeting happens, and it's been – this is the ridiculous thing about the story so far, Alex. This exit meeting, like, it's been reported by the Shamses of the world and the Windies of the world that, ooh, Giannis is going to meet with the Bucks and talk about the future. They do that every year.
Just an exit interview, yep.
So in that meeting, the Bucks are going to have the conversation you and I just did and say, look, next year is going to suck. You can probably carry this team to a lower playoff seed, but we're probably not contending for an NBA championship in 2026. Beyond that, we can rework this thing, but we need you to be a little bit patient. And that is going to be the moment of truth where Giannis says, I'm willing to accept that or demand a trade. And I don't think the Bucks are going to be okay with being the ones that say we are going to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo to recapture our future. They're going to put the ball in Giannis's court and say, all right, you want to be traded? You need to go out publicly
exactly.
and say you want to be traded.
And
that is going to be an interesting moment because Giannis's entire life has been loyalty, humility, mm-hmm. this ethos of I take care of my family. I take care of the people that are closest to me. The Bucks have been that, right? Mm-hmm. And that is going to thrust him into a role that he has never been in before, and that role is villain.
Yep.
And then if he does that, the Bucks still have all the power because they can say, you want to be traded, but we need to get what we need to get out of this deal, so we are going to send you to a place and absolutely gouge the team we're sending you to in every way possible. So it's a tricky situation, and I think it is right now advantage Milwaukee Bucks because they can sell him on the loyalty. They can sell him on take a back year,
yep.
be the MVP, and we'll revitalize for 2027. And if he decides to be the villain, then they put that on him and gouge him for all that he's worth.
And now here's the thing, to your point. This would have to get to a point, I'm totally with you, on Giannis needs to go public with it.
Yep.
But he needs to publicly request a trade. He can't just say to John Horst or whoever's in the room, hey, I want out. They're going to say, okay, go ahead, work on that. Giannis ain't the type of guy to go on his Instagram story and explain why he's requesting a trade from Milwaukee.
Call Jim Gray into town and get him a Jim purple Gray. Checkered shirt and let him do it on.
Is that who did
television.
That? That was Jim
yeah,
Gray.
It was Jim Gray.
That man's everywhere.
It was weird too. They did it at a Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yes,
which was very odd. The whole thing was bizarre. But you're right. I don't see Giannis doing that. Maybe he does it on the analysis show. That would be a good place to do it.
That would be a good place to do it, but I would prefer if he doesn't do it.
I agree. So I think what we need to lob up here, Alex, is do you think Giannis has the stones to publicly demand a trade from the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
800-990-3776 is the phone number to get in. He's certainly got the stones to do it, but I don't think it fits with his ethos. I think he is going to ride in and ride out with the horse that he came in with, and we'll see where that leads in 2027. And if he becomes a free agent and decides at that point that he wants to leave, then so be it, because he'd be a free agent and he'd be well within his right. He owes this city and this organization nothing.
Nothing.
But I think he is going to at least ride out the contract and see if they can get it right in 2027.
I didn't think the first question of our day today would be about Giannis's stones.
Does Giannis have the stones? It's never been questioned before, but it's legitimate now.
It's not that he doesn't have the stones. I don't think it's in his DNA, right? So we will see. I certainly think, you know, the next couple of weeks/months, and obviously with this Tuesday being a big date, it will be interesting to see everything he says, because, you know, in our job, Brian, right, I've been with Good Karma about 4.5 years in total. We've been so wired about the Packers quarterback, right? Aaron Rodgers. What does he say? What's he saying on McAfee? What is he telling this person? Dude, I'm going to have to learn Greek because I'm going to be having to translate the tabloids, listening to anything he says when he gets home. I'm excited for Giannis watch. I'm also excited to see if we get to a point in the next week where Giannis just goes, stop this, right? I'm going to be in Milwaukee, but I don't know if it's that quick.
There are two teams that I'm most nervous about.
Uh-oh.
The ping pong balls bouncing their way on Tuesday night. I want to tell you who they are coming up next.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You met me at the perfect time. You want me, I want you, baby.
Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin, live from Walk MS at Summerfest. A beautiful May afternoon. Well, I guess it's the morning. Close enough. Alex Stroh, Brian D, hanging out with you. Will Summers running the show for us this morning. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Your way into the show on the Cardinals Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. 800-990-ESPN. Does Giannis have the stones to break up with the Bucks? That our question
publicly,
this morning.
Publicly.
That you get in on.
He's got the stones to do damn near anything.
That's true. We know that. That's true.
We've watched this dude for over a decade. It's a different animal to publicly say, I would no longer like to be a Milwaukee Buck. Please trade me. That's something he's never encountered before.
That's true. I'm curious
to see if he is as bleak as some others are about the future of the Milwaukee Bucks organization. And if he feels like he can't continue to win championships here.
I'm bleak. A lot less bleak if Giannis is in town. Brian D. has two teams he thinks can come up with a unique package to entice the Bucks to let go of Giannis, trade Giannis, in order to receive some compensation back. Two teams with the NBA draft lottery coming up Tuesday. Brian?
There are two teams with a lot of ping pong balls in the machine.
That's not a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor. It's just a legitimate thing. They do have ping pong balls in the machine. I wasn't going for a metaphor. I was going for facts, Alex. Number one plays a game seven tonight. It's the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Now, the Rockets have the Suns pick. So these are both outside chances, and you need the ping pong balls to be number one because there's one great player, like generational talent in this draft, and that's Cooper Flagg. He's going to be the consensus number one pick out of Duke. Houston's got enough young talent, and you're seeing it on display in these NBA playoffs, to be able to package Cooper Flagg plus Jalen Green and future capital if that's a place that would be enticing enough for Giannis to go and play, right? So that's one. I think that's an outside shot. The legitimate concern, and we go into full-fledged pegging the meter panic mode here in Milwaukee if this happens, is the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Because if San Antonio, who has two picks in the lottery, they've got their own and they've got the Atlanta Hawks pick. If one of those ends up with Cooper Flagg and they can package that pick plus a Stephon Castle plus in terms of picks to get Giannis and Wemby playing together, that's a hard thing for Giannis to say no to. For an organization that is as well-run in any professional sports league. So if that happens Tuesday night in the NBA lottery, Wednesday on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison is going to be difficult because I think that becomes the point where this becomes a little bit more real.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing at play with San Antonio is they now have a head coaching opening.
They have an interim in there now, somebody who was on their staff, earlier this week, Greg Popovich moved into a more senior advisor sort of role as his health unfortunately declines a little bit. But you're right. Like, Giannis could theoretically, if all of this lines up, say, not taking that guy. I'm going to install my own guy.
Well,
now,
what if the pitch is, hey, we're going to hire Mike Budenholzer. You want a title with him in 2021. He's in search of a job right now.
He's got history in San Antonio. He's from that tree.
Right?
So that's what makes me nervous, is that all could theoretically line up in a way that makes it very enticing for Giannis to say, yeah, I have the stones to do this publicly.
Those are the two teams I agree with you on, right? I think they have the capital. They have some of the players that I think would entice the Bucks to go, okay, maybe, right? Stephon Castle just won Rookie of the Year the other night. It's worth thinking about, but at the end of the day, as a Bucks fan, I'm riding or dying with Giannis every day of the week.
You have to. But it's our responsibility to lob up these possibilities and go, let's not blindfold ourselves to something that could actually happen, right? Like, to say, oh, Giannis's blind loyalty is going to be enough to the city of Milwaukee to keep him around is ridiculous. It's not a legitimate thing to base hope. Hope is not a strategy, right?
It is not.
And it feels like there's a lot of hope and not a lot of substance for the Milwaukee Bucks organization right now outside of Giannis loves us.
My final point on the hope, though, and on that point is, I think you can use that argument more with Giannis than any other player in the NBA. And I think that's been proven, right, over the course of his career. He's had other opportunities to leave. He hasn't left. He led a championship to Milwaukee. It's more of an argument with Giannis, but obviously anything can change in the NBA at the drop of a hat.
And you're asking for his hope in return. You're asking for his faith in return that after this year, which would be a lost cause coming up, it's just going to be that way. You've got a bunch of young guys that played in the playoffs that are fine but not great. You've got an injured Dame Lillard, and you've got Giannis. That is what the Bucks are going to be next year. There's no other options. you have to roll with that and trust the organization that they're going to get it right in 2027 and beyond.
Chef Ed on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. His demeanor is not saying that he would ask to be traded. I talked with Homer, and he thinks they should trade him to the Lakers for Luka, says Chef Ed. Did you see Homer's tweet this week?
I loved Homer's tweet from this
week. Homer was on fire on Twitter this week, at ESPN Homer. He tweeted, trade Giannis to the Lakers for Luka. I don't care how fat he is.
He's not wrong on any of those points. He's not.
We turn our attention to the Green Bay Packers coming up next as Jason Wilde, the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, host of Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin, joins us for the next half an hour. We are a week removed from the draft. Will the Packers finally make a decision on Jair Alexander this week? Probably not, but we'll ask him about that. And all things green and gold coming up next. Brian D., Alex Strofe with you live from Walk MS at Summerfest. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Watch me.
Sunday Karma live at Walk MS at the Summerfest Grounds this Sunday morning. I'm Alex Strofe alongside my boss, Brian D. is here with me on this this Sunday morning. I've realized I work with all of my bosses on this show now.
I don't know if I like boss.
Well, you are my boss, and then I typically host it with my boss's boss and my boss's boss's boss in Craig and Greg.
Is that a good move or a bad move for you? That you
oh,
are
bad. I'm under a microscope, bro.
You're either under the most immense microscope ever, or the flip side of the coin would be you're surrounding yourself with people that could advance your career, right?
Yeah, two things can be true, I guess, in that scenario. Speaking of somebody who can advance my career, he let me host Wilde and Tausch this week with him on Thursday. He is the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is the co-host of Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. He is our friend. He is our mentor. He is our lovely Packers reporter. He is Jason Wilde joining us on Sunday Karma. Good morning, Jason.
You forgot my guy, and you also...
Oh, I did.
Who has done more to advance your career than me?
Brian, you want to pick that fight, or should I just not respond?
No, I'm with him. I agree. It's not me. It's not Scals. It's not Craig. It's not Kyle.
I did call him my mentor, if that means anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm just when I saw that you two were hosting, and yes, Brian, one of the great things about him is that he hates the idea of being considered a boss, but that's what he is. But also seeing on social that you guys... Now, I'm going to need some information on why your pants were wet, because that information was not clearly stated.
Wait, did we put this on social?
A close teammate of ours who had proximity to the stage did post on social that your pants were wet. Khakis was a tough move by you today.
Was it raining? I hope it was raining and it wasn't some sort of a urinary issue, especially considering that I shared some embarrassing information about John Williams, the Packers' seventh-round pick, as he was talking to us, and a booger flew out of his nose.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that,
Jason. Lead for my story. But I'm glad. But before we get to any boogers or anything else, I got to say, I love the fact that you guys are at the MS Walk. My mom, who passed away many years ago, was diagnosed with MS in 1997, and I went on a lot of those walks, and it's a phenomenal cause, so... Appreciate you guys being there and adding your support and awareness to an important event.
Yeah, we're happy to be here, Jason. So before we get to what you described as a flying projectile in the Packers locker room, I want Alex to give more information about the water that ended up on his khakis. Go ahead, Alex.
So I chalk it up. Yeah, you know what? I peed my pants. No. So I went to the restroom. I used it properly. Waited for the dribble as one does, you know, then zipped up my pants, went to the sink. These sinks are not used much these months, and I think I just so happened to pick one that panicked. And it, you know, when I put my hand underneath the sink, it kind of bounced off my palm and all over the right side of my pants. So I had like a, I would say about a bigger than a quarter size dribble looking spot. About 3 inches above my knee, but right on the inside of my leg.
That's a long
and then
story.
I didn't tell this part. I was like, that's just one spot. I got to make it look worse. Right? I got to make it look like it was bigger
than dressed it up.
So I dressed it up. After I washed my hands, I threw some at my pants because I was like, I can't make people think I peed myself. So I've got to make it obvious that it was water. So that's what I did. So anyway, and then I went behind the stage prior to getting on the Briggs & Stratton stage to introduce the event and count down the walk. I sat on the top of a picnic table that was right directly in the sunlight. I sat about crisscross applesauce while I read through the script, and luckily it dried up. So we're good. Thousands impressed.
Wow. I will say this. One of my favorite conversations during my career was with poor Mike Daniels, who you know was a phenomenal character and always fun. But there was a game, I want to say it was against Detroit, but my memory might be off on that. But he was a profuse sweater in the below the equator region, both front and back. And remember, they would wear those tan pants. Yeah, it had to be Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah. They would wear those tan pants that Rogers liked so much. They were so comfortable. But when you sweat, it was much more visible than with the yellow or green or even white pants. And so it definitely appeared that Mike had gotten a little bit on himself while he was playing in the game. And that was not the case. And him trying to convince us that that's not what had happened is one of the funniest conversations I've had in the locker room.
All right, Jason. Well, let's shift from one bodily excrement to another here. How close were you to a flying booger in the Packers media facility or locker room this week? What happened?
Yeah, it was definitely directed away from me, so that was good. But it did narrowly miss, I think it was Fox 11's microphone and Ellie, who was conducting the interview. But yeah, it was, John Williams he's literally a rocket scientist. His degree from Cincinnati is in aerospace engineering.
Wow.
And yet, and the Packers have had a guy like this before, Brad Jones, who, if you ask Rob Domofsky, was kind of his Lex Luthor. Like, they did not get along. He was kind of like Bill Schrader and I. But he was always, and this is the one, if there's one thing that you can be in a conversation with me that will bother me, it's condescending. I try not to be that way. I might do that once in a while with Strofe, but I don't think so. But I hate it when people are condescending. And like Tom Clements used to do that all the time. He softened in his older years with us, but I can't stand that. And Brad Jones, who, look, I'm fine with admitting that he's smarter than me. You know, I mean, I'm a fairly smart guy, but he was smarter. There's no doubt about it. And so is John Williams. And what I loved about John Williams was he could not have been less that way. Like, you wouldn't have known that he was an aerospace engineering major who, when his NFL career is over, will probably go work at NASA or SpaceX or Lockheed Martin. And his reaction, because I didn't want to embarrass him, but at the same time, he like totally took it in stride. And he was like, our conversation with him was dwarfed only in fun by Warren Brinson, their sixth round pick, the defensive tackle out of Georgia, who was, I mean, he was like, you know, Jim Gaffigan and Frank Caliendo and every comedian you could think of with us. And so I think there's even a picture that the USA Today photographer has of me laughing as he's talking, and I'm in the back, and I'm kind of off to the side. And so what kind of struck me in those conversations was, you know, they talk so much about wanting guys that love ball and are all about ball. And these two guys are, by the way, right? They're both really successful third-day picks. But they both played big-time football. And what I thought was cool was that they both are all about ball and also let their personalities shine through. And when I asked LaFleur about it, you know, he had this great line about, I don't want these guys to be robots. You know, certainly they got to perform, but I want their personalities to come out. And I thought that was really cool to get to know those two guys. I mean, Warren Brinson, he was like, there was no slowing him down. Like, it was just a laugh a minute. And then occasionally we would get a serious answer. And then even then, he had to finish it with some sort of one-liner or joke. So it's been a long time since I laughed that much in an interview. John Williams was really funny, too. And those guys obviously will be judged on how they play. But I wanted to give our fans a little bit of a taste of behind the scenes. That's usually my goal.
I love that, and now I'm going to derail it. And we'll talk more about rookie camp and some of your interactions with some of the higher round picks coming up next, Jason. But before we get there, you mentioned Billy Schrader, who you obviously had a unique relationship with, to say the least. The other night, I found myself reading a Jason Wilde article from 2002 about Bill Schrader's return to Lambeau when he was a member of the Detroit Lions. And I don't want to call it a hit piece, but it was quite a detailed story about why he was so disliked. Do you remember this article?
So I certainly remember the story in 1999, I think, where he was still with the Packers. And here in the ultimate irony, by the way, it's funny that this is coming up because I found this out a couple weeks ago and I haven't mentioned it. So our oldest, Maddie, is on the varsity track team at her high school as a freshman, which is awesome, and I'm super proud of her.
Good for her.
One of the things she's doing is the triple jump, and they don't have a coach for triple jump. And I was talking to one of the other coaches who coaches the throws, and I said, hey, do you know anybody who'd be like a really good coach for Maddie? Like, she really is excited about this. She doesn't even know what she's doing, and she's done really well. And he's like, you know, to be honest with you, the guy to go to is Bill Schrader.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I wonder if he would be willing to coach her in spite of... And look, I always felt like it was one of those like snowballs rolling downhill with him and I. And it all goes back to, like, he was, you know, and I've always said this about him. To make it to the level that he did, having played 1 year of college football at the Division III level at UW-La Crosse, is a testament to what a remarkable athlete he was and how driven he was. The issue was that it also required him to be incredibly self-confident and some would say arrogant. It went to hell between him and I. Like, it wasn't ever great, but it really went south when he had back-to-back 100-yard games and then had like a 99-yard game. So he was like their best receiver for a period there in 99. And so I'm like, look, I got to do a story on this guy. He's playing great. And I went to his two closest friends on the team, Matt Hasselbeck, the backup quarterback at the time, and Ryan Longwell. And Matt Hasselbeck, I can't remember which one said which. One said, you know, it's like working in an office. You don't have to get along with the guy in the next cubicle to get the job done. And the other one said that I can see how Billy rubs people the wrong way. And those were his closest friends on the team. And then I went to Bernardo Harris and Santana Dotson. And I think it was Santana who said, I think our parents would have called it not playing well with others. And Bernardo said, my mom taught me to never say anything. If I had nothing good to say about someone, not to say anything. And then he demonstrably stood there silent for 10 seconds. And so, look, this was all, these four guys knew it was on the record, and I used all four of those anecdotes in the story in which I said, look, sometimes, you know, Billy and his locker room brethren don't always see eye to eye, but what matters is he's been extremely productive, and he's helping a team that needs more wide receiver production get the offense going. Well, obviously, he saw the story then the next day, and when he talked at his locker, there was a big group, and I was on the outskirts of it, and he banished me, said he wouldn't talk unless I left, and we have not spoken since, including the time when the girls were little, and I was going for, you know, I was trying to accumulate a bunch of pre-owned toys for them. They were like 2-1. And I pulled up to this nice house not far from Lambeau, and I started to go up the driveway, and it was Bill Schrader who was having a rummage sale. And I immediately spun on my heel and went back out because I just didn't think that he wanted me coming in and buying his pre-owned toys. So he and I never really got past that. He sits behind me in the press box when he's checking everybody's socks to make sure they're the right length and everything. and we just sort of agree to not speak to each other. So if you know any other triple jump coaches, I'm all ears.
What about 7'2.5"?
Yeah, I don't, you know, obviously he was a fantastic high jumper. I know that he's a very busy guy. He's got a bunch of track assignments coming up. But yes, you know, he's not only my favorite journalism professor active in the academic world, but also, yeah, he'd be a good resource. I don't know if he knows anybody locally, but we'd certainly take any suggestions John Anderson has.
I actually think I got a guy for you. I'll text offline. All right, Jason, we dive into rookie camp, some of your conversations coming up next here on Sunday Karma. I had a brain fry there because I saw a really tall dog, and I was really confused by the height of that dog. So anyway, all right, Sunday Karma rolls online from Summerfest, where I seemingly won't get distracted anymore.
The dog is like 5 feet tall. It's ridiculous.
Brian D., Alex Drove with you. Jason Wilde continues with us next.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm lost in the way you move, the way you feel. One kiss is all it takes, falling in love with me.
The Dua Lipa version. Sunday Karma, Alex Sturp, Brian D. hanging out with you live from Walk MS at the Summerfest grounds in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, right off Lake Michigan. Joined again by our buddy Jason Wilde, who you hear each and every weekday from 9 to noon, alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch. And Jason, you mentioned it a little bit last segment, some of your interactions with the Packers draft picks as rookie camp gets underway in Green Bay. You mentioned some of your comedic takeaways. What were your takeaways speaking with Matthew Golden, the first-round pick? We talked about one of your articles you wrote in 2002. That was the last time the Packers drafted a wide receiver in the first round, up until Matthew Golden last week. What were your takeaways in your conversation with 22?
Yeah, first of all, it was fun to find out why he wanted number 22, because I think we can all agree that is not a traditional wide receiver number. It was not because of Taylor Swift, and it was not because of what appears to be Will's affinity for Dua Lipa, but it was more because his grandmother's favorite number, and she's obviously a huge influence on him, as he has talked about on multiple occasions now. Her favorite number is 2, and that is already issued to Malik Willis. Now, he said he did not approach Malik Willis and ask him about the idea of maybe swapping out numbers, but so he went with 22 instead, which I don't know about you, but watching practice, which was not really a practice, it was mostly just drill work, it was just so strange to see a number 22 playing wide receiver. It just my brain just could not completely get wrapped around it. But I think we're going to see him doing it a lot, obviously, and he's going to have a big role in this offense, because you don't pick a guy in the first round to sit on the bench. So I'm eager to see what his role will be and get used to seeing a guy who's number 22 catching balls down the sideline.
Don't disrespect Aaron Ripkowski like that, Jason. Did Matthew Golden have to get Ripkowski's permission to rock 22? I think he was the last.
It's a great reference. And again, fullback, perfect number for him, right? Like,
yes.
Makes sense. We've seen running backs. We've seen defensive backs wear 22. Never wide receiver. So, you know, and of course he's also got a connection with Savion Williams, their third-round pick, who is wearing a more traditional number 83 as the wide receiver. But oddly enough, Savion Williams hosted him on his visit to TCU, where he initially committed to play football, and then he went to Houston, and then obviously he ended up at Texas. So I always, you know, one of the many things I love about this is the it's a small world after all interactions, and
yeah.
And that was definitely one of them to hear about that. Another one is that Micah Robinson, the corner they drafted in the 7th round, is like second or third cousins with the aforementioned Malik Willis, which I also wasn't expecting. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know me, that's the kind of stuff that I'm really interested in.
It's a small world after
all.
Okay,
I'm going to ask one more question to stop Alex from singing. Where are we at with Jair? Where are we at with Ja? It feels like you're being asked this 7 times a week, but it's information people are curious about. Where do we stand right now on May 4th?
Yeah, may the 4th be with him. I don't, look.
And with your spirit.
He is risen indeed. So here's the thing. And this was why I had a feeling about this, but I wanted to get Matt LaFleur on the record, and I'm always trying to figure out ways to ask questions that will effectively kind of corner someone into having to give at least some answer, right? As opposed to, well, you know, whatever he might have done instead. And so the way I went with it was, Matt, I'm sure Jason Waller's the PR director, warned you that this question would be coming. He said, you give Jason too much credit. I'm like, no, he's good at his job. I know he prepped you for this. It's my understanding Jair Alexander is not taking part in the on-field stuff during the off-season program at this point. Is that correct? And he, of course, all he had to do was say yes or no, so he had to say yes because that was the truth. And I think that's important, but it's not important because of, oh, well, they don't want him back. It doesn't necessarily bring us any closer to knowing what ultimately will happen with him, and here's why. Because they are still in this limbo, okay, of they don't know if they're going to trade him, they don't know if they're going to release him, or they don't know if they're going to keep him. And right now, though, because they haven't decided, and this is the most important thing that comes out of getting that answer out of him, is that we know that they've made no decision, clearly, and that they're still weighing their options. Because if they put him out there on the turf at the Don Hutson Center, and he blows his Achilles, they are on the hook for his full salary for 2025, which is $16 and change million. And if you knew you wanted him, and you weren't going to try to keep him on a pay cut, or you weren't going to move on from him, then you would have him out there, right? Because he needs the work. So my intuition tells me, because Matt LaFleur said we're still working through it, is that they have an agreement that, hey, you know, we appreciate that you want to be here in terms of collecting on your workout bonus, but we want to figure out where we stand, and we want you to feel good about where you stand. So I'm guessing they have told him, look, we will pay your workout bonus regardless, but we need you to not participate because we don't know what we're doing right now. And I think that's the most likely scenario. And now we have to wait and see if in the coming weeks they reach an accord to have him stay here, or if they decide, you know what, it's best if we part ways and we found a trade partner, or we didn't. But I just think, you know, after Rob Domofsky reported that, you know, him staying was still on the table, it was almost as if people said, oh, well, he's definitely staying. And right. I think this underscores the fact that that's not necessarily true.
It just seems like they haven't made their mind up, which I find strange at this point, because Goody said prior to the draft, right, we will reevaluate after the draft. They only draft a seventh-round corner. So now they need to figure out, okay, can we restructure? Can we make this an incentive-based contract if he plays a certain number of games? It's just, there's not going to be an update until there's an update. That's where I'm operating. Is that fair?
Sure, but that's, I mean, part of that is up to him, right? Like, is he willing to come back on a reduced rate? And what is that rate that he's willing to come back at? And then what is the rate that the Packers are willing to pay him, knowing that there's a risk that he's going to miss time again because of his track record the last 2 years? To me, that's the, you know, somewhere there is a point where Jair is comfortable with the contract and the Packers are comfortable with the risk of carrying him for another year. But I don't know where that is, and I'm not sure they do either. And so that's the holdup. And whenever they get there, you know, if they get there, then he'll be back. But the crux of this, too, remember, is the fact that, as I've said many times, you know, the coaches in the building, nobody's questioning whether the guy can play anymore or not. They all believe he's good enough to play when he's on the field. And that conversation I had with one of those folks, when they said, Jason, he still can play. He's still a really good player. And my three-word answer was, when he plays. And his response was, yeah, you're right. You're right. So, again, we're still in a holding pattern.
And I think we will continue to be for a while. Never in a holding pattern with our buddy Jason Wilde, who joins us every week right here on Sunday Karma. Jason, thanks for the time.
Thanks,
as always.
Jason,
we'll be listening to you tomorrow beginning at 9 a.m.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
the great Jason Wilde, and he always tells you about our friends over at Gruber Law Offices. For over 35 years, Gruber Law Offices has been serving the people of Wisconsin. Gruber Law Offices, Wisconsin's premier injury firm. If you or somebody you know, somebody you love, has been injured in an accident, there's only one place to talk to, and that is Gruber Law Offices. Family firm, a winning team, and based right here in Wisconsin. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. I am fired up about the potential of this Packers offense. I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Alex Groff, Brian D. with you, live from Walk MS at the Summerfest grounds. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.